Hallelujah. He did it. He did it. He set out to set us free and he did it. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful work. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we magnify the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, say it with me. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Let's say it again. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we just approach your word tonight. We approach it reverently and humbly. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. He sent the helper to help us. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for anointing us to teach, anointing us to hear. Oh, bring revelation tonight. Not just information, but revelation. Hallelujah. That after we come into contact with the Word of God tonight, we'll say we'll never be the same. Hallelujah. We'll never be the same. Oh, we give you all the praise. Father, we ask that you would be the most seen, the most exalted, the most glorified. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. A little tempted, actually, just to have you play the whole message. I tell you what. What's our time frame tonight? I should have asked you.
What time y'all go to bed?
All right, very good. Very good. Very good. Well, I'm so excited to be here. We had a good time this morning. Did you enjoy that this morning?
Yeah.
We trust we gave you the ministry of helps maybe in a little different light. Yeah. Maybe what you considered before. Yeah. I love teaching on helps. I came up through the crowd, you know. So whenever I talk about, you know, the first chair that I had in the ministry of helps really was a lawnmower seat. So I consider myself as teaching on helps as like coming up through the crowd. So we do a lot of workshops, and there's a number of workshops that I teach. I really teach it towards the leaders. Here's what your volunteers wish you knew. If they'll help you, right? I'm just of the opinion there. People have a gift, and they want to use it. Sometimes we just need help with the leadership. You know, help us out here. And so I feel like just coming in, there's plenty of people who've got it covered from the top down, right? Teaching helps, you know, from the top. But I really feel like I'm just teaching it, like coming up through the ranks. And so I'm going to provide just a little bit different flavor, a little bit different viewpoint. But I'm having fun nonetheless. But tonight, you know, it seems good. I want to go a little bit different direction. I touched on it this morning. So let's just finish up. We'll pick up where we left off this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. This morning we left off Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. But I want to start with Ephesians 4, 17. I'm going to read a handful of verses here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Everybody say their mind.
Their mind.
So Paul is describing here, I want you to walk. There's a certain way that is going to be your tendency to walk, and I want you to stop walking the way everyone else is walking. And he says it's futile, right? It's not productive. But he mentions the futility of their mind. All right? So he's starting to tell us where is the issue? Where is the problem? Goes on to say, having their understanding darkened. Everybody say, their understanding.
Yes.
All right, so let's put these together. He's talking about the problem is their minds, their understanding. Goes on to say, being alienated from the life of God. Come on, is there an area in your life? If you would be honest, you would say, I don't see the life of God. Just a rhetorical question here. Don't need a show of hands. We all have something, right? We have areas in our life where we're, you know, we kind of got it. We're doing okay. And then there's other areas, man, I'm not sure. I feel like I take one step forward and two steps back, right? Then there's other areas I don't even know what's going on, right? It's just that old closet. It's that old basement. You know, we just keep it closed. I'm not sure what's going on down there, right? We feel like overwhelmed. You know, I got my hands full just up here, right? In my own room, in the family room, in the living room, I got my hands full. We don't even have time to get into the attic or to the basement, you know? Alienated from the life of God. And yet, Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I have come that you might have life. And he went on to say, and I want you to have it more abundantly. Jesus set the bar high. But he didn't put the pressure on you. He put the pressure on himself. He says, I have come that you might have life. You look that up in the Greek, it talks about super abundantly, right? And yet, honestly, as believers, we look at our life and we have to say, there's an area where I don't have it like a super abundance. I don't even have like just the life of God, right? Alienated from the life of God. And he goes on to say here, because of the ignorance that is where? Oh, come on. So let's put these phrases together. Paul is saying their mind, their understanding, the ignorance inside of them. Do you ever wake up in the morning and something vital to whatever it is that you need to get ready in the morning, whether it's a shaver or a blow dryer or a coffee pot, right? And this unit is not working. Do you ever call up the power company? There is an issue here, right? No. We start looking with, right, in our home. Let's look at the issue, right? And yet how many times do believers, they come to something in their life and it is not working and they're looking to God. Why is this not working, right? Paul says, come on, the issue is not with him. Right? Oh, the one phrase. I want to write a book. There's so many believers and Christians. It's the American thing to say today. You know, things happen for a reason. Oh, does that just drive anybody else nuts? You know, they just put it all off on God. Well, I guess it happened because of God. No, Paul says here, if you're alienated from the life of God, it's because of your understanding. It's because of your mind. It's because the ignorance that is on the inside of you. Right? If I don't have the life of God in the area, I am the problem. But thank God that God doesn't just show you, you are the issue. And he doesn't stand back and say, I wish you well with that. Right? He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the helper, right, to show us. He said, I'm going to teach you the things of Jesus. I'm going to remind you what he said. I'm going to put you in remembrance. So let's turn, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I love teaching on this, and it just seems good to teach on this some more. This morning we talked about the ministry of helps. This goes hand in hand. So this morning we touched on our vision series. We've got three series with the ministry. We've got a relational series. I told you about my story this morning, how I found a wife. I've been married for 764 days. 12,104 days. We are having so much fun. So when I got in with the Holy Ghost, you know, I was in my late 30s and I realized I missed something somewhere, right? There was a turn and I missed the turn, right? You know, because in the mid-20s, you think, well, I'm just waiting on God. And I sailed past that. I went into my 30s. Well, I'm just waiting on God. And on about 32, 33, 34, I realized, I think there was a turn back there and I missed it. So at this point in my life, everybody's just giving me, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. It's just overwhelming, right? And so I finally told the Holy Ghost and said, listen, I need help. Help me. Help me to be picky about the right things. Is there a message? Is there something that I need? You got me looking for a girl. I don't even know what I need, you know? I mean, I think I'm looking for these qualities. It might be fun, but maybe that's just fun for 2 hours at a party. That may not work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I've never done this before. Holy Spirit, help me. And he brought somebody to me who's even better than I could have dreamed or imagined. But he also gave us some information, too. It seemed good. We did professional Christian counseling. Highly recommend it. We did 13 sessions. You know, we paid for this money. Spent over $1,000. But man, it was the best investment we've made. So there's information out there, right? I took it personal when I read in the Word of God. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And then it went on to say, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And I looked that word up, cleave. The Greek and in the Hebrew. And they both said to like to continue to pursue, to go after, to stick to. And so I took it personal that whenever I pursued my wife, right, to get her, to hook her, you know, to go out on a date. Come on, woman. And I realized this was not just the dating behavior that I was to continue on into the marriage, to go after my wife and to pursue her heart. I took it personal. So we found some tips and we found some tools. And so we just love them. God has been good to us. And so that's our relational series. And then the vision series was this morning. We're talking about the ministry of helps. But tonight we're touching on the foundation series. Just the foundation of who you are. So did you find Romans chapter 5 yet? I gave you a couple extra minutes there. Romans 5, we're going to be reading in verse 15 from the New King James. But the free gift is not like the offense. We don't have time to read the entire chapter. Let me catch you up to speed. The free gift is salvation. Who in here paid for your salvation? Anybody? Nobody. Anybody here, you were like really nice to somebody like a whole week and that's how you got your salvation? Who of you gave a bunch of stuff away and that's how you got your salvation? Raise your hand up to me. How many your grandparents deeded it to you? How did you get it? Did you pay for it? Did you do something? No, it was a free gift. You heard it, you believed it, and you spoke out. That's how you got born again. That is the free gift. So it says the free gift is not like the offense. The offense here is talking about what Adam did in the garden. God creates Adam and Eve. He comes down and he has fellowship with man. He comes down in the cool of the day and they talk, they commune. And it's as if Satan, Lucifer, the devil stands back and says, man, I got to break this thing up. What do I do? And he knew there's one thing that cannot go into the presence of God. That, my friends, is sin. Even today, with salvation and the blood of Jesus covering us, sin still cannot stand in the presence of God. And it's as if the devil looked and said, how can I attach sin to mankind? It's as if he sat back and said, I want to just do things whatever I can to mankind. I want to keep them out of the presence of God. But in addition to that, I just want to make them sick. I want to make them miserable. I want to ruin every relationship he tries to get into. I want to ruin every dream that he has. But the real coup, the big thing the devil really wanted to do is once you died physically, his goal was to cut you off from God forever. And he thought he had it done. So he tricked Adam and Eve in the garden, and they sinned, and immediately sin attaches itself to mankind. If you read in Romans 5:11, it talks about sin now came upon everyone. All you had to do in order to get this sin nature now was to be born as a human. You're born as a human, all of a sudden now, there's a time in your life where sin attaches it to you. And now you couldn't go before the Father. So we have stories in the entire Old Testament where only one man can go before the Father, right? God designed the temple, here's the temple, and there's the holy place, and then there's the Holy of Holies on the inside. And God told Aaron and Moses, he said, now I want one person going before me every single year. But he's got to do all these sacrifices, he's got to cover over everything, and he's got to do it right. But only one of you can come before me. And it's as if God up in heaven is saying, that is not what I wanted. And God and Jesus made a covenant, made an agreement. Or God said, I'm going after mankind. I'm not going to be separated from mankind forever. But in this state, though, we go back to, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Verse 15, the free gift is not like the offense. What Jesus did on the cross is not like what Adam did. For if by one man's offense many died, much more. Everybody say much more. Much more. So come on, say it again. Say much more. Much more. The grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded. Everybody say abounded. Abounded to many. So a couple years ago, so I don't know about you, but I've been born again since I was 4 years old, you know? And just never really caught a hold of this until 4 years ago. I was reading this verse. A friend of mine put some different translations together in a book. So I'm reading this particular translation. And so sometimes this is lost in us, right? In the King James and the New King James Version. And so I said, well, let me see what this verse says in other translations. And I have this on my phone, if you'll permit me to read this. So I got a hold of this in the Barclay translation. He writes, the grace of God and the free gift which came through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, came in a far greater flood tide of power to mankind. Far greater flood tide. I go on reading another translation. The God's Word translation says, there is no comparison between God's gift and Adam's failure. There's no comparison. The Ben Campbell Johnson translation reads, "The single act of Adam and the single act of Christ are similar in that they affect everyone, but the effect is quite different." And I'm starting to think, hold on a second here. Hold on a second. And then I came across the Hudson translation. This is one of my favorites. It says, "Justification surpasses Adam's transgression in the quantity of its effects." Adam's transgression brought universal death. The free gift of justification and God's grace and Christ's kindness more than repairs this in blessing. Man, I read this one day about 4 years ago and something jumped on the inside of me. What Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs anything I lost because of sin. There is no comparison. In this passage, Paul is saying, what did you lose? Come on, has anybody ever wronged you? Right? Have you ever wronged yourself? Right? You remember a story and you realize, man, that was all my fault. Come on, have you ever made a mistake and it like stayed with you like for a week? 2 weeks? Right? How about this one? Like 5 years later, did it ever wake you up in the middle of the night? You're like sweating and you wake up and I sit up in bed and I think to myself, Fleming, you are such an idiot. Come on, am I the only one in here? Right? Have you ever been through trouble? Was it your fault? Someone else's fault? See, we don't realize it, but there's a natural tendency. The devil's trying to always get us to conclude. And I don't know about you, but growing up in church, though, I put such weight in my mistakes. Oh, man. If only I hadn't have. If only I wouldn't have. If only they wouldn't have. I didn't realize it, but I was comparing. And let me tell you, myself along with so many believers, when we compare what God did for us versus our mistakes, it's as if we have more faith in our mistakes. Oh, but you don't understand what happened. Oh, but you don't know what happened to me. But there's a day 4 years ago, I read this verse and something stood up on the inside of me and I said, hold on a minute. When I read that verse, it said, what Jesus did for me more than repairs. I thought to myself, that is not how I viewed salvation. I don't know about you, but like salvation was like little Jesus. You know, somebody just a couple weeks ago, when I was at camp, had like one of those little Jesus bobblehead dolls, you know? It brings comfort to us. You know, look at Jesus, you know? But we kind of view him, right, as like a little doll. You know, I'm going to heaven, you know? Means I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. But someday when we get to heaven, right? Just you people wait and see. So I applied this. Something just jumped on the inside of me. And I applied this to the biggest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And so that was whenever I was 16 years old, my father, who was a pastor at the time, he died, passed away. He got sick, died about 6 weeks later. Man, it was sudden, it was quick. So I'm there in Tulsa, right, in the holy city. Everybody and their brother came through the hospital and prayed for us, prayed for him, right? And he passes away, and I'm like, now what? And so it was a difficult time, you know, tough to get through. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, after a couple of years, man, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. It came right when I was 16. I felt like it was a key time in my life. And so I never questioned God, you know, being good to me. I never questioned God as a healer. I never questioned God calling me to the ministry. But really what had impacted my life was in terms of the financial. I never saw myself being a success from that point on. It was a struggle. From the minute my father passed away, the devil just started to come to me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do now? So whenever I was a kid growing up, you know, years ago, we would look for Christmas gifts. We would get the Sears catalog. You know, I'm just right on the edge of that generation, you know. It's like a paper, you know, a lot of pictures in it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm just having fun. Yeah. I didn't get a cell phone until I was like 32 years old. I know. Can you believe that? Yeah, I got you on that one. Okay, I saw that. We got a remote control TV, you know, and I was like 17 years old. Anyway, I digress. So you've got the like the great gifts, you know, and then there's like the great, and then there's like the good, and then there's like the bottom level. And it's as if, you know, the devil's leading me. You don't qualify for the top anymore. Your father passed away. You don't qualify for the middle. Maybe you qualify. So I was looking for a car and had a beater of a car. I paid $500 for it. And everybody around me is like, Fleming, that car is rough. But that's all I could see myself because my father died when I was 16. Stayed with me 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. Now, at this point in my life, I am not introducing you, telling you my dad died when I was 16. But it's there. I'm thinking it. I tell you, my name's David Fleming, but inside, I still have that track going on every once in a while. Young man whose father passed away. Wouldn't wish this on anybody. 20 years go by. Wouldn't wish that on anybody. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I read this verse that day 4 years ago. And it said, what Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs what I lost through Adam's transgression. And I said, I am tired of being a victim. I am tired of paying the price. And I physically stood up. And I was by myself, and I said, I'm going to apply this verse to the biggest thing that ever happened to me. And so I started to walk around the house, and I said this to myself out loud. I said, what Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs what I lost when my father passed away. Oh, man. My life started to change from the second. Come on. It's not enough for you just to sit there and say, well, that sure sounds nice. You have to get up off the chair. You have to say something in your life. What do you decree? And I said it again. What Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs what I lost when my father passed away. And I said it again. What Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs. And I'm telling you what, the ignorance on the inside started to change. The darkness on the inside started to change. See, I never saw Jesus like that before, right? Before my father passed away, it was like a mountain to me. It was huge. You don't know. You don't know what happened to me. But my dad passed away. Fleming, you want to? No, I can't do it because my dad passed away. And you tell me, well, Fleming, you're born again. It's like little Jesus, right? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to heaven. But in terms of my job, in terms of my family, in terms of me starting out, my father passed away. But I'm telling you what, I kept speaking that day. What Jesus did for me on the cross, more than repairs. And I said it again, more than repairs. And I just kept saying it out loud. And I kept saying it out loud, more than repairs. Come on, say it with me. Say, more than repairs. Say it again. Say, more than repairs. Say it with me. Say, what Jesus did for me on the cross, more than repairs. Any trouble I've been through, any mistakes that I've made, say it again, say more than repairs. Say it again, say more than repairs. 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 Man, I just started marching around the house. I was by myself. I said, more than repairs, more than repairs, more than repairs. And I'm telling you, something happened that day and I got it. It changed on the inside of me. No longer do I see my father passing away. Now, it happened, right? It really did happen, but they changed places. What Jesus did for me. So much greater than any mistake I ever made, anything everybody did to me, for me, because of me. It changed places. My father did pass away. We're not pretending something bad didn't happen to you. Happened. You know, statistics will tell us that there's some things happen to people in this room should not have happened to you. Wasn't right. We're not pretending it didn't happen. But what we are saying is what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross more than repairs. I don't know what you think of when you think repair. When I think repair, more than repairs, I think of repair jobs, you know. I think of me like trying to work around the house, you know. So I'm the youngest, I'm the only boy, you know, I'm supposed to be, you know, working on stuff around the house, you know, I gotta fix stuff. I'm okay, you know, working with wood, you know. I really want like one of those laser circular saws, you know, because even today, you know, when I cut, you know, just to cut through a 2x4, it is just not straight, you know. I just built my own workbench, and it's okay, it looks fine, it's standing, you know. It works, all right. The fence fell down, you know, at my mom's house, and so I waited a couple years and I put it back up. The fence is still standing, right? It's okay. It's not like. Yeah, let me tell you where my fence looks good. Go across the street. Don't come up close to my fence, you know. Come tell me how I'm doing, you know. Go across the street, you know. And then even then, what I want you to do is I want you to squint your eyes. Yeah, my fence looks good from there, right? Yet when Jesus comes into your life, come on, he didn't just repair you, put you back together. The Word of God says he more than repairs. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. When you got born again, God came into your life. He did not use duct tape to put you back together. God looks at you when you got born again. He doesn't look at your life and say, wow, you have made a mess of things. Hold on a second. I didn't realize this. Really? You did what? He doesn't go on to say, I'm just going to have to kind of piece you back together until you get up to heaven. We're just going to kind of make do here. Come on. No, he said, I make all things new. What Jesus did for you on the cross, more than repairs. So let's add up all of your mistakes. Everything wrong people have done to you. Let's put them all together. Let's throw in the people that cut you off in traffic, cut you off in line at the grocery store, right? Let's throw in the times that you got passed over on the job when you probably qualified for that, but someone else was promoted, right? Let's throw in the people, I'm not sure, but I think they were talking about me when I walked in. Let's put all them in there too. I don't think those people like me, you know. I walked into the room and everybody was talking and now they're really quiet. I don't think they like me. Come on, put them all in there together. And what Jesus did for you on the cross, more than repairs. Another translation says, far exceeds any damage. Oh, come on, let that just soak down into your mind, into your soul, into your spirit. Far exceeds any damage. Another translation says, immeasurably outweighs the transgression. That tells me you cannot compare how good you have it in Jesus to the trouble you've been through. And I got a hold of this, and this completely changed my whole view on prayer, on life, on talking to God, on being with God. See, up to that point, come on, the devil is working on you, and he's trying to convince you God has not been good to you. The first recorded words we see in the book of Genesis, God comes and he talks to Adam and Eve and tells them, stay away from the tree, right? And immediately the devil comes through as the serpent and he's trying to question, has God been good to you? Are you sure about that? He's questioning the goodness of God. And if the devil can get you to question if God has been good to you, he moves you from that place of always receiving from God. I don't know if God's been good to me in this area. Well, I don't really know. Where was God when this? Where was God when that happened? He's trying to get you to conclude. God's not like always good. How many Christians do we know in America not convinced God always wants to heal? Why is it vital? Because he's trying to question, is God good like every time? There's times out on the road, you know, when I say God wants to heal every person every single time. Man, the crowd will get quiet. Right? Why? Because the devil's been working on him, trying to get him to say, I don't know if God's been good to you. But I'm telling you what, I got it. God has been so good to me. Oh, he's been good to me. So that just blurted out of me when I saw that. Oh, more than repairs, the biggest trouble I've ever been through. God, you've been good to me. And I just kept saying it. I would lead with it in prayer. Father God, I come before you today. You've been good to me. You have been good to me, right? And then all of a sudden I realized, I begin to see it. The Holy Ghost showed me it. It's all through the scriptures, the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And what happened over time is, as I kept saying, you have been good to me, he kept revealing it to me. And that's when I got my eyes onto Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me ask you a question here. Let's go back to, I want you to think of humans. Does somebody love you?
Yes.
Like an actual physical person, someone you can pinch, you can poke, you can touch, yeah. Right? Somebody love you? Yeah. Or somebody like think you're like really swell, you know? Somebody kind of fancy you. Let's get everybody in here. It says here in verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4, but God who's rich in mercy. Don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but I love how Paul uses these phrases. He's rich in mercy, not just kind of merciful. He's rich in mercy because of his great love. Come on, God just doesn't kind of take a liking to you. He has a great love with which he loved us when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So how do you know somebody loves you? How do you know? Is it just a feeling that you have? I feel love. Right? They put it as a status update, right? I'm in a relationship, right? That's how I know that they love me, because they actually admitted to the world. They put it on Facebook, right? So I told you, you know, I've been married for 764 days. So Erica, we were friends for a couple of years, about 3 years before we started dating. God was just good to us. So we progressed. We went from being friends. And so then I took her out. We went to, my church has a park. And so one night, it was the first Thursday night in April that year. I took her out and I said, come on, let's go for a walk. We were just been friends. And I told her, I said, hey, let's talk about us. You know, if we progressed from just being friends, I said, come on, babe, take a step with me. Let's see, you think there's something else here? Are you agreeable to that? And of course, she was readily agreeable. Come on, you know, why was she not? I digress. So we start to date, you know, and so we're going through, so we were good friends, talked, and that, now we're like talking all the time, you know. So I go by and I pick her up. She's there living with a couple of girls there. Got a house and so on. I would go by and ring the doorbell. And so she would come open the door. Man, it was like the best part of my day. She opens up the door and she's smiling at me. So this one particular day, I open up the door. And so she says, hey, I got something for you. And so I walk inside and there on the counter in the kitchen is like a cake. You know, it's like chocolate frosting. I was like, what is this? She said, it's a yellow cake with chocolate frosting. I said, my favorite cake is yellow cake with chocolate frosting. She says, I know. I said, how did you know? She said, you mentioned it a couple of days ago. And there on the counter is a cake, and it's all for me. The whole, what, 8.5, 9 by 11 pan. I'm pretty simple. I'm pretty plain on my foods. You know, don't like anything fancy. I believe it's just because I'm Irish, you know? The things that I like, I really like them, you know? And I love yellow cake. I don't even know what the flavor is, you know? It's just yellow. I don't need to know, but I know that the other one is chocolate. I got that one, you know? I'm sharp. And so I'm putting this all together. Hold on a second. I just kind of mentioned in passing, I like yellow cake with chocolate frosting. She heard it. She makes a mental note. She goes to the store. She buys everything. She bakes it. She fixes it. She puts it up for me. I think she likes me. We go out a couple of months later. And I took her like on a one-day trip. I came back from the road. And so we went to the next state over. And we're driving, looking at the leaves. You know, I plan this whole big day, you know, to take her out. You know, because I'm trying to impress her, you know. I want this girl to come along with me, you know. So I find a place where we could go on a little hiking tour. You know, it's about a mile and a half. We see this waterfall and we're having a great time. And I packed a picnic lunch for us. You know, she's just loving the day. So towards the end of the day, we're on this hike. And so I'm just making sure, you know, she's like a girly girl, you know, takes time to getting ready. You know, she gets her nails done, gets her hair done. You know, that's what I wanted. You know, I wanted like a girly girl. So here we are on this walk, and so I'm just making sure, you know, she's good. She's got her tennis shoes on, so she's got the right shoes on, right, you know, for a hike. And so she's doing great halfway through, and we get to the waterfall. I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, got a hearty little girl here. I like this. Take her out on hikes. And so we go. We see this waterfall. We take pictures. We get our picture taken in front of it. And then this thought drops into my mind. Where's that water coming from? I was like, well, come on, Erica, let's go down a little closer, you know, let's get our picture taken right in front of the waterfall, you know, and I'm also thinking, maybe I can peek in there and see where the water's coming. I'm just curious, that's all, I'm a man, you know, I come from a long line of engineers, and we like to figure things out, you know. So we get down there, we're taking our picture, and I look up in the cave, and I still can't figure out where the water is, and I tell her, I said, hold on, I said, listen, will you give me a minute? I'll be right back. Wait right here. I just got to see. I know I'm on a date, right? I'm trying to impress this girl, but I got to, I'm a man. I got to figure out where this water is coming from, you know? So I climb up this big rock, and so I'm in the dark, you know, and I'm trying to make my way through, and I'm just in there just for a little bit, and all of a sudden, it's like I feel something kind of rubbing up next to me in the dark, you know? Well, hold on a second here, you know? What was that, you know? And I'm trying to look over, I'm trying to see, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so I'm on a date, you know? I don't need to be rescued by the girl, you know? Don't want to be yelling out, help me, help me! Erica, help me! That was not what I pictured, you know? I'm trying to show this girl I can take care of her. Not trying to prove to her, you can take care of me, babe. So I keep looking, and I realize it was her. She had climbed up the rocks and came in the cave and came right next to me. Oh, man, was I relieved. Oh, it's Erica. Okay. Whew. This date was going well, and then all of a sudden it was not looking. Now it's looking like really good now. So we go through the dark, you know, and so I'm holding her hand, and man, she's right with me, and I'm thinking to myself, this girl is amazing. She gets dirty with me here in the cave. She wants to be on the journey. Man, I think I love this girl. It goes both ways. You know, there's things that I've done for her. You know, in the beginning there, she was on a retreat, you know, with the church. A group of girls went on a retreat and had like 8 inches of snow came in one day. So they're driving back to the church, back to the campus. You know, they're on a bus. And I think to myself, I'm going to go take the snow off the windshield. I want her to know it was me. So I get there and I take all the snow off and I still have time and I'm just energized, you know. So I clear the entire car off, you know. There's like 40 cars in the parking lot, but there's one that is completely uncovered. Yes. Right? And thanks to the phones today, you know, I stand back and I take pictures. Here's what I've done. So she still doesn't show up. So I think to myself, where is the bus going to pull up and park? What is the path that she's going to walk? So I estimate where I think the bus stops and where she's going to be walking. And I shovel the entire... I like this girl. I love this girl, right? You love somebody, you do something. And when somebody loves you, it's because they did something. And you say to yourself, I like this, but oh, it's because they love me. right? There's something that they did. There was something that I did. Come on, let's look back at this again. Verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who's rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us when we were dead in trespasses. Come on, here you go. Made us alive together with Christ. Raised us up together with him. Made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come. Come on, what God wants to do in your life is going to be an amazing story for ages and ages and ages to come. It doesn't matter the trouble that you have been in, the mistakes, your fault, someone else's fault, because what God wants to do in your life is to make it an incredible story, so that for the ages to come, people want to keep hearing, tell us again what God did for you. Tell us again how he turned your story around. Tell us again how you thought there was no way out and he made a way. Tell us again how hopeless you felt. And then all of a sudden, when Jesus came in and did, he did something for you. And the word of God says is that when you see the story of what Jesus did for you, that's the sign to you that God loves you. God has been so good to you, because that sin attached itself to you and there was nothing you could do to get away from it. But Jesus came. He became a man. It says there in Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those. Everybody say release. Release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And as soon as you got born again, death had to let go of Jesus Christ. And as soon as you believe in Jesus Christ, death has got to let go of you. Sickness has to let go of you. You have been released from fear. It has no right in your life. God has been so good to you. God's been good to me. And so now I have boldness and I can come before the Father anytime I want to because of what Jesus did for me. Couldn't do that before Jesus, but now because of Jesus, the Bible says, I have entrance. I have boldness to enter into the holy place. God has been so good to me. And I just kept saying it over and over and over and over again. And my focus now is on Jesus. See, before it was always on me. And it only ended up concluding with two ways. Either I just couldn't do it, and I felt guilt and condemnation for the mistakes that I made. Or if I felt like I was able to keep the standards, it resulted in pride. Well, thank God I'm not like, thank God I don't do. The focus was always me. I never realized it. Who do you think you are? No, it's who do I think Jesus is? God has been good to me because of Jesus. And I've got story after story after story that I began to apply this to everything in my life. It worked, being set free of everything I lost when my father passed away. And all of a sudden, now I just began to apply it to everything. Used to be a perfectionist, right? Hated mistakes. It would stay with me for weeks and days. But I'm telling you what, because God has been so good to me, I'm losing those perfectionist tendencies, because I realize that even if I do make a mistake, I'm not trying to make mistakes, but even if I do, what Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs. I offend other people. Oh, man, Father God, forgive me. But I'm asking you to more than repair this in their life. And it is setting me free from fear. And now this goodness opened me up coming before the Father. Come on, how many believers view God like the highway patrol? Right? Tell me about your occasions with the highway patrol. Right? We're all on the highway. We're all driving. We're just driving whatever speed we want to. We won't discuss that. Somebody sees the police, right? All of a sudden, what are we doing? We're slowing down, right? We're looking around, checking my tags. My tags are good. Lights, do the lights work? Man, I hope the lights are working, right? We're just looking in the rearview mirror, right? Don't move, right? The policeman's on the side of the road. We're thinking to ourselves, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move. And then I'm over the hill. Man, that was close. And as soon as I'm out of sight of the police, as soon as Americans are out of sight of the police, then they go back to doing what they were doing, whatever that was. Let me ask you a question. When you've been driving and you saw a policeman on the side of the road, have you ever stopped, pulled over, backed up, came and knocked on the window? How you doing? You having a good day? My name's David, by the way. What's your name? Have you ever? Only way you've done anything close to this is he was your father. He was your grandfather. Not interested in fellowship with him, are you? There's nothing good can come from this conversation, right? Isn't that what we're thinking? Only thing good from this is I'm going to be in trouble. He's going to find something wrong, right? I'm just better off if I just keep on going. And yet so many believers, because they question if God has been good to them, have as much interest in spending time with the Father as they do with the police. They're just so convinced, he's out to get me. Man, every time I talk to him, I got to change something. Every time I talk to him, I got to stop doing something, right? So we bring you into church, and if you show up on time for worship, we say, let's all come before the Father. And across churches in America, so many believers are like, I'm sitting on the back row. Right? Come on, let's just hear what the Father has to say to us. La, 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 la. Right? We've perfected the art of, hey, how you doing? Doing well. Thanks for everything. Good. All right, good. See ya. All right, next time. Oh, did you want to say something? Sorry, I got to run. Right? Why? Because deep down, we're not convinced he's been good to us. And this verse got a hold of me. And I realized, you have been good to me. And it changed my whole attitude of going before the Father. I didn't realize it, but I had check boxes. Did you read? Check. Did you pray? Check. Were you nice to people today? Everybody but that one, but you know. Nobody likes him, right? Do you like them? Really? You do? Okay. Right? And we're just checking off boxes. But I came across the fact that God has been so good to me in Jesus. Zephaniah says he rejoices over us with singing. Come on, is that your picture of God? When you come before the Father, does God come in and just grab you and say, there's my child, my son, my daughter, yes. And I have that awareness that I come before the Father. I can't bring sin, right? I can't say, no, I insist, I'm bringing sin with me. No, you can't do that. But I still come before the Father, and he says, come on, let's work on this. Let's change this. Come on, let's do this glory. Come on, son, you have been made to be glorious. Now let's be glorious. And I'm telling you what, I've read these verses, you know, about how to walk in love, and I've read the verses, but nothing changed my heart towards people as when I quit focusing on people, and I just focused on, you have been good to me. And what has happened now is that I quit focusing on my behavior. And what you'll notice is my performance has just taken off. He's changed things that I could not change on my own. Man, I tried hard. And as I keep focusing on him, the value of people has just got. He loves people. Come on, I didn't know, I didn't realize he loves people. That's what I told you this morning. This has changed how I shop at the Walmart. Right when this has taken hold of me, my friends gave me a gas card to Shell. And I was in the middle of the States there. And so it was a $100 card. And so I look for the best price, you know, and I'm filling up my tank. And I hear this on the inside when I'm done. Next guy that pulls up, I'm going to fill up his tank. I heard that down on the inside. And I said to myself, let's do this. Yeah. So a guy pulls up and he's talking with, I presume it's his wife. Never did find out. And it takes a couple of minutes, you know, and it takes forever. So, but I'm chomping at the bit. I've never done this before. I'm excited, man, you know. I'm finished with my car, you know, but I'm just waiting for him. So I'm just waiting nearby so I can get him, you know. He jumps out of the car and I come over and said, hey. I said, man, can I try something? Can I do something? And he steps back. What are you doing? I said, man, God's been good to me. Somebody's been good to me. And I just got an extra on the card. I just wanted to pay for somebody else's gas today. And so I put the card in the machine, you know. And the way it works is, the machine reads your card and gives you the balance. But this time it took like 5 minutes. It seemed like, right? It was only like 10 seconds, but I'm a little excited. I'm a little nervous here, and it takes forever, you know? I'm looking over the guys looking at me like, what are you doing? And so when it pops up, there's $60, $62 left on the card. I said, hey, I got $62 left on the card. I just wanted to do something nice for you. Man, I want to fill up your tank. And the man looks at me and says, what? I said, I just wanted to fill up the gas in your tank, you know? What? I said, I just want to do something nice. He says, no one ever done anything nice for you? He says, no. Something like at an impasse. I didn't think this through. I didn't see this coming. I don't know what to say. He's just looking at me. So I kind of fumble through and I look at the pump again and I said, well, do you like 87, 89, or 91, you know? 87. So I punch 87. I said, okay, all right, man. Let's fill up the tank, you know? So I perceive on the inside, I have pushed this man as far as he can go. So I come back over to my side, right? And I was like, what do I do, you know? So he's pumping up, and he's kind of looking over at me, you know? What's going on, you know? So I'm like, I can wash my windows. So I start washing the windows, you know, and wash these windows again, and wash these. I look over at him and wash the windows again, and all of a sudden I hear the pump stop, click. And I just kind of blurted out, hey, did that stop on its own or did you stop it? He looks at me and says, hey, man, listen, $30 is good. $30 is good. I said, come on. We could do better than that. Come on. What about 40? Can we go to 45? Let's go to 45, man. Come on. 45 is even better. He's like, all right, man. And he puts it back in the tank. And again, I think this is as far as I can go. So I just like rewash the windows again. Now I'm doing like the lights, you know what I'm saying? I'm like looking at the whole thing and it pops off and I look over at the guy. He says, didn't touch it, man. Didn't touch it. Stopped on its own. But it changed the entire conversation with this guy. And I told him, I said, listen, God has been good to you. Completely changed. Come on. These things never happened before whenever I wasn't sure if God had been good to me. And now I'm finding opportunities everywhere I go. And what is my message? I don't know, but God's been good to me. God has been good to me. And I'm telling you what, it is getting people's attention. People that have been in church, you know, they're expecting me to just come hammer them. You need to get back into church. You know, that's why I ran into you today. You sinner, you get back, repent, you know. But instead, you know what's coming out of me? God's been good to us, hasn't he? And it's completely changing conversation. People are like, wait, what did you say? I said, God's been good to us. And how one man look at me and say, yes, he has. He has been good to us. And I come before the Father. And there was one particular night, there was a worship song rolling around on the inside of me. I went to a meeting and they were singing this. It was a new song for me. And a week later, about an hour after I went to sleep, that song is like rolling around on the inside of me. It wakes me up. So I get up out of bed, you know, don't want to wake up my wife. And I got these great headphones. And I go and I buy the song on iTunes. And I just begin to worship for an hour. And the song is, from man's point of view, singing to God, I'm a lover of your presence. You know, let this be a sacrifice. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. But I realized when I was singing this song, I realized we're missing the first step. Oh, it's wonderful that you love God. But the first step is God loves you. God loves me, right? Jesus said, you haven't chosen me. I chose you. John said, we love him because he first loved us. And I pictured there as I began to worship, I pictured God and Jesus themselves making the covenant and singing to me, we are lovers of your presence. And it completely changed my life right there. God is now excited when I come before him. And it's not based on my performance. It's based on what Jesus Christ did for me. And now I realize God spoke over me. This is my child. If you continue reading there in Romans chapter 5, the very next verse 16 talks about how the sin resulted in a judgment of condemnation, but grace results in a judgment of justification and life. When you accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, God now speaks over you and says, this is my child. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. See, before that, there's a condemnation. You keep thinking that God is pronouncing judgment upon you. Judgment to the negative sense. But no, because of Jesus Christ, God is now pronouncing life and life more abundantly. Life and life more. That is what he spoke over my life. And it took me years. It took me over 20 years after my father passed away. But I finally realized, man, the devil lied to me for so long. He told me, you don't qualify for good. It's because you're father passed away. And I finally realized that the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy no matter what happened. And what he does is he takes a fact, an event that happened in your life. This did happen. And then he attaches it to it. Says, I'm coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And I can because this happened to you. And I bought it for 20 years. And let me tell you today, the two are not related. If it wasn't that, it would have been something else. And I'm telling you, the devil has a plan for your life. And he's trying to ruin it and mess it up. But it has nothing to do with what you've done. It has everything to do with his nature, who he is. But because God has been so good to you through Jesus on the cross, I qualify for goodness. God has been so good to me. Oh, I could tell you story after story after story of fears that I've been set free from in my life. I thought it was me. It wasn't me, it was fear. But when I got rid of that condemnation, thinking that God, I don't know if God was for me. I didn't know if God had been good to me. When I got rid of that, these fears just started to fall off. Like I had this great toolbox at home. So being the youngest, being the only boy, you know, I get the man tools, you know, for Christmas. You know, my sisters would get like these makeup kits, you know. I always felt bad for them, you know. What a miserable gift, you know. Those girls are trying to put a good face on it. That's so nice of them, you know, but who in the world, you know. So it's like 1997, 98, you know, I get a gift. It was a toolbox. It was a Sears Craftsman, 6 foot tall. It's bright red. It's one unit that sits on top of the other unit, you know. It's got these great drawers, you know, that come, oh, man, it's a nice toolbox. So it came with a story. They bought one, put it at my sister's house to surprise me. Someone stole it from my sister's garage. So they had to go out and get me another one. So on Christmas Day, they presented it to me. Here's a toolbox. We got one for you the first time. Somebody stole it. I know. Can you believe it? Somebody stole the first one. So I open it up and it's bright red and I think to myself, I don't want anybody to steal my toolbox. They steal this cardboard box. What are they going to want when they see the bright red, fire engine red? So I came up with what I thought was the best solution. I found this nasty blue blanket and I covered my toolbox. And I'm thinking to myself, nobody knows. I got a great toolbox now. Not realizing, everybody's like, oh, there's got to be something underneath that blue blanket. It's got to be a fire. I didn't think of that all the way through. So every time I need a tool, I do the same thing. I look, see, is anybody coming down the street, down the road? Nobody's coming. Coast is clear. And I get underneath the blanket. And I'm under there like, you know, like a Wizard of Oz, you know, paying no attention to the man behind the screen, you know. And I'm pulling the drawers out, get my tools, and I come out from underneath. And never mind that somebody saw something moving around underneath there, and all of a sudden I appear with these great tools, you know. Come on, Fleming. So I want to make sure that the blanket doesn't drop, you know. So I learned over years, I put a half a pound or a half a bag of fertilizer on top of it, you know. Because then that way the blanket just drapes really nice. Doesn't touch the floor, but it covers everything. Covers all the red, you know. It's just perfect, just nice. Because that way if there's water on the ground, you know, you don't want the blanket on the ground. Because then it'll seep up into the, yeah, you got the thing. And then you don't want it, you know, you don't want to just pull the blanket off, you know. Because then you're covered in this blue blanket, you know. And you don't want like a full bag of fertilizer. Because if it pulls off and hits you in the head, you know, it's going to hurt, you know. Just a half a pound. That way it... I thought it was just me. One year ago. Okay, so 15 years I've been covering this toolbox. For 15 years, every time I need a tool. So last year, last Friday in May, I'm cleaning out my garage. I'm getting ready for some friends to come over. You know, I want them to be impressed with my garage. And I look over the corner of my eye and I see my toolbox covered with the blue blanket. And it hit me. My goodness, I have been afraid for 15 years that somebody was going to steal my toolbox. Can you believe it? I'm almost laughing out loud. Devil, you dirty dog, you. And I drop the broom and I go over there and I rip that. Come on, I have been released from fear because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. So many things. I could keep you here all night. So many things. I thought it was just me, and it was fear. But I'm telling you, I've been set free from fear when I keep focusing on God. You have been so good to me. Come on, say it with me. Say more than repairs. Say it again. Say more than repairs. Say it again. Say more than repairs. Come on, I'll take everything Jesus paid, right? I'll take the whole thing. I want the whole thing. Everything He paid for, everything He did for me, I'm taking the whole thing. That is life and life more abundantly. So I don't know what's happened to you in your life. If you've been through tough times, if it was your fault or someone else's fault, let me tell you from the Word of God that what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross will more than repair. Far exceed any damage. Come on, if anything in your life you say there's a story, there's a part of your life that nobody wants to hear about, you don't want to tell a story, hold on. Your story is not finished yet. God, come on, remember what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, so that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Your story is not yet finished. Oh, I want you to raise your expectations of what God can do in your life. I want you to raise your expectations because He's not looking at you. He's looking at what Jesus did for you on the cross. Come on, did He do it? Yes, He did. Did He pay the price? He didn't go three quarters and say, man, this is pretty tough. Let's finish this up another time. Man, He paid the entire price. We qualify, and I'm taking everything that's on the receipt. I'm taking everything that I qualify for. I'll take everything He paid for. Up to that point, though, we were always focused on us, and I didn't realize it. But now I see it all through the New Testament, all through the Word of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said in Galatians 3, who has bewitched you, you should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified among you. He's reminding them, I kept telling you about Jesus. I kept showing you about Jesus. He said in Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He said in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, oh, I'm praying that you have the eyes of your understanding are lightened. You know the hope of what he's called you to, right? The exceeding riches of his power towards us, right? Exceeding greatness of his power towards us through what he did through Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 3, he says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection. He said in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. It's all through there. Jesus himself said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so I will be lifted up. And what they had to do in the Old Testament is they had to look at that serpent. They had to look at that. Jesus said, I'm the same way. You keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus, right? You trip, you fall, you skin your knees, get back up. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. See, I know it may be rough today. Oh, but come on, how does this compare to what Jesus did for me on the cross? It doesn't compare, right? Good, bad, the ugly, everything. Come on, how does this compare with what Jesus did for me? Doesn't. Man. Completely changes my attitude. Man, I'm having a rough day. And I remember, hold on, how does this compare with what Jesus did for me? Ah, man. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Come on, why don't you stand up with me? Let's just begin to thank him and praise him. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Thank you for Jesus. We magnify the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. We worship you. We magnify your name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for what you did for us. Oh, we worship you. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, would you just grab your whole team and just do that last song? Would you guys mind to do that? Come on, let's just sing that last song again that they did. Right? Let's just begin to worship. Let's just keep thinking while they're getting ready. Thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you. We take it. I take the whole thing. I take the whole thing. I take the whole thing. Everything Jesus paid for. Everything that he paid for. Hallelujah. I'll take the whole thing. Everything, everything, everything. We receive it. We agree with the word of God. I believe what Jesus did for me on the cross. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are presence, Lord. soul that I can't constrict, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence,
speak. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We believe, and therefore we speak. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has been good to me. God has been so good. Oh, Father God, you have been so good. You've been so good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalm 116, David said, what service will I render to the Lord for his goodness to me? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll take another drink. I'll take another drink. Hallelujah. Come on, you have not seen the end of the goodness of God. You have not seen the end. Your best days are ahead of you. Come on now. He already did it. Already did it. Already, already, already. Hallelujah. 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 His best days are ahead. Oh, come on. It's even better. Oh, come on. Can I tell you how good I see? Now you know why I've been telling you. It's been the best 764 days being married. Right? Because it is a physical sign to me. God has been good to me. And so every time I see her, every time I grab her, right, she is a sign to me, God, saying, oh, come on, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. But come on, this marriage is so much better. I was so afraid for years. That's why it took me 40 years to find her. I was so afraid I was going to find the wrong person. So afraid that it wasn't going to be good. So afraid. God has been so good to me. He can promote you right in the spot where you are. Right? right? Make you the family member. All of a sudden, everybody's coming to, right? He can raise you up. I don't know what your story is. Please the Father. You never can on your own. I finally realized Jesus opened up the way for me to go before the Father. And then when I come before Him, that's when He just starts depositing things on the inside of me. And it makes those changes all that I always wanted. Could never figure out, how do I get there? How do I do that? He did it on the inside of me. And I just kept saying, you have been good to me. And it's as if He says, you haven't seen anything yet. Look at this. You were good to me. Oh, come on. I'm speaking His language now. Right? He does this for His honor. So that for the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything else? Can I get anything else in the other chorus? Let's sing it one more time. Come on. Let's soak this in. Let's go.